Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Don't you ever get sick of hearing your own name?
How would I ever get sick of that?
Good morning.
Good morning to Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. She was just asking me if I ever get sick of hearing my name on the radio.
You know, and then the amount of times I have to say it to get your attention. Jimmy Purdy?
What?
Jimmy?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
And then everyone else, hey, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
So bringing to the end of the month, Leanne is here today because June is officially over.
Ah. Another month, and it's the 6 month, which means we are halfway done with the year. Oh my goodness.
I guess that means we're that much closer to Christmas.
Yay! Yeah, yay. There's the silver lining. Holiday season.
That's fun.
I'm sure the groups really split half and half. Half are excited, half are like you.
So thanks for tuning in today. This is, if you haven't tuned in before, you're for quite the treat. This is Gearhead Radio.
Lucky you.
We are... What? Lucky me?
I said lucky you. Yeah, you. Who's listening? Lucky you.
Oh, yeah. There you go. See? Now you're getting it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Phone lines are open if you have any questions. 805-238-5775. In the meantime, we will just sit here and... have a conversation about the auto industry. And I thought today would be fun to test Leanne's knowledge in the auto repair industry.
Woohoo!
Pop quiz. Here we go. Ready?
Hey, I have my specialties, okay? I'm kind of nervous.
But first, let's start with the weather. Because the weather is on.
Weather is top priority right now.
So today is going to be pretty nice. But... we are passing nice and going into the extreme side of it, getting in to the fourth into the next week. I saw reports that we're looking at close to 110 to 115 Friday, Saturday. I guess Saturday is going to be the most extreme. I mean, it depends on what you're looking at. But
I honestly hope not, but I feel like historically... this area, 4th of July and fair time, it is always the hottest in triple digits. It just hasn't been like that for the past handful of years.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, Monday is just going to be right out of the gate, just under triple digits, and it's kind of just trending upwards into the end of the week. So best case scenario, around 97, 98, worst case, 101 Monday. And then trending upwards. Best case scenario, Friday, Saturday, 102. Worst case scenario, 115 to 120. So be prepared.
So enjoy this weekend. Ooh, I just hit my mic because I was so excited. Enjoy this weekend because it's just going to be in the 90s. It's going to be nice and just warm and toasty.
So be prepared.
Not boiling.
Make sure your vehicle's prepared. Make sure all that stuff. Keep a bottle of water in the back in case... something catastrophic happens. You don't want to be sitting on the side of the road with no water. So it's a good time to just throw a bottle in the back, maybe where the spare tire goes or in one of your cup holders in your glove box. Just have a bottle of water there. It's just something
throw
nice.
Throw some
to have.
Towels over it if it's plastic because it is going to get so hot. I mean, that plastic what? Leaches. So we always recommend glass.
I mean, we're just talking about survival here.
Yeah. Well, you know, survival and health. If you're throwing a whole bunch of plastic
bottles
back there, just throw a towel over it. The towel's going to come in handy anyway.
You all drank from a hose, right? We're going to be fine. That's fine.
Yeah, the water was also different 30 years ago.
Good morning.
Good morning. Speaking of heat, I'm looking for a radiator for a 96 big block. It's a GMC. 96 GMC, 3500 Vortec motor. I'm looking for a radiator. I'm going to pick your brain to see where would you send me to look for a good quality radiator replacement.
That's a good question. It's tough to find anything good without spending a good amount of money, and basically having kind of something custom made. You know, the aluminum ones are nice. There's a few different, you know, I'm trying to think of the name. Just skip my mind. You know, Summit Racing, they have a lot of good brands on there, but the quality control on a lot of them are getting really tough right now to find something good. So are you looking for a stock replacement, or are you going to build something kind of custom?
It had the Harrison in there. It had the plastic tanks on that side with the aluminum center, and one of the plastic sides cracked.
Of course.
And so it was a friend of mine. She drags her horse and trailer around with it. So I pulled the old one out, and I'm just looking to get a replacement drop in.
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, getting an aluminum one is going to be the way to go. Mishimoto is probably going to be your highest brand, your highest price point, but probably the nicest quality. If they offer one for that anyway. I get a lot of nice stuff from Mishimoto. Speedway Motors, you can look on there. They'll probably have a direct replacement that's fairly inexpensive. That's going to be aluminum. That'd probably be kind of the other side of the spectrum, where it's going to be the most cost effective. And then everything else is kind of in the middle. So like Be Cool has a really good brand that I've had a lot of good success with. But it's tough for me to give you an exact one.
Okay.
Griffin is probably another top of the line radiator, aluminum radiator company.
These are all aluminum you're talking about.
Yeah,
not everything, replacement, right?
No, everything I just mentioned is all going to be aluminum, custom built, and direct replacement for that if they offer it. I would think Griffin will probably have one. It'll probably come with like a shroud with electric fans. It'll be like the whole get up. Griffin's got some pretty good products, but they're kind of on the high end of price point as well. But I mean, it's an important, you know, component. I've seen some of the other ones come out, and then you know the TIG wells around the seams aren't very good, and after a year they split and they start leaking. So it's good to spend a couple hundred extra dollars to make sure you get a good quality built one that's built in the United States.
Yeah, you wouldn't recommend O'Reilly's or any of those guys.
I don't think they'll have an aluminum replacement. I think you'll be just dealing with another plastic one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And if you do, they're just going to find one that you can find, and they'll just, you know, obviously sub it through them. So if you go like Summit Racing or Speedway Motors, and you can call them, you know, you can actually talk to somebody and say what you got, and they'll be able to track down exactly what you need. That's what I would recommend.
I've ordered from Summit before, and Jags.
Yeah, then the greatest thing about Summit and Jegs is if you get it and there's something wrong with it, you just send it back, and it's like no questions asked, you know, return policy. So second to none when it comes to their customer service.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, and also, just
I wanted to mention cruise night last night was pretty. Nobody's cruising anymore.
It's a parking ride.
Curb, yakking. Yeah. I'd like to see more cruising.
We got to make that happen. I think once it cools down a little bit or warms up, I don't know. I don't know what gets people going. Maybe gas prices come down. Maybe that's what it needs to happen.
Well, you know, Tascadero worked out good. I know you said you showed up. I never saw you, but Kmart worked out really good for a cruise in. Good car show. That worked out good. And, of course, Templeton's still the place to be. So,
yeah.
Well, I just wanted to mention Santa Margarita was a little disappointed with their... I mean, the turnout was good, but nobody was doing anything.
I was cruising, huh?
Well, no cruising. Anyway, thank you, sir.
Well, thanks for the call. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Yeah, even if you went to O'Reilly's or Napa and they had aluminum options, they're going to be special order anyways, so you might as well just go straight to the source.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many names down. I've gone through a few different ones. Be Cool was pretty good for a long time, and then that had some issues. But I mean, the price point's right. And there's another one called Cool It radiators. Mm-hmm. But I totally forgot about Griffin. I just had to do a quick search to refresh my memory. Yeah, Griffin makes really good products. And I have a card of a guy down in Los Angeles that'll make a custom radiator for whatever you want. If you want to spend $1,800 on a radiator, but I mean, he builds it in-house custom. He'll like ingrain the top and put, I mean, it's crazy, but he, nice radiators. And then he covers them for life. So I guess that's worth it if you spend that kind of money, but
Well, and if you're replacing the radiator, I hope you're replacing the hoses and the thermostat too.
You want me to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I could say you or you who's listening.
Yeah.
In general, if you replace the radiator, depending on why, you probably should replace the hoses and the thermostat too. Make sure it's all ready to go. Otherwise, a couple weeks, couple months, you're probably going to start to have problems again and wonder why I just replaced that damn radiator.
No, it sucks too with coolant because you got to drain it all and then fill it back up. And then you got to, yeah. I mean, once you drain it, just replace all those components. I think I just replaced it a year ago. That year was probably 2 years. And I mean, what's the cost? I mean, it'll cost you more in coolant with everything you spill everywhere if you end up having a problem with the hose later on, right? So just once the coolant's drained, just get all the hoses replaced. Get all that stuff just taken care of. I mean, if the water pump's easy enough, put a water pump on it too. Just that way the whole cooling system's new and you're like, I did everything when the radiator was replaced. So you don't have any problems with it.
Peace of mind.
You want a piece of my mind? Is that what you said?
Wow, you're really not listening today. I don't know what's going on. Good thing we're going to a commercial break.
We got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Marv Station, formerly Clem's, 6700 El Camino Real in Atascadero, is under new local ownership, and it's better than ever. Clean, fresh look, a mini-mart that's second to none with the friendliest staff around, clean restrooms, and at Marv's, you'll find the most competitive gas prices, and they accept CFN and Pack Pride. Find out for yourself. Marv's, they've got it all. 6700 El Camino Real, Atascadero.
Elite RV and Boat Storage in Paso Robles is now open. They're not your typical open-air dirt lot. Elite RV and Boat Storage is fully fenced, fully paved, and each space is covered. Their state-of-the-art facility includes security and video cameras monitored 24/7 with motion detectors safeguarding every covered parking space. A professional RV wash station with spot-free rinse, vacuum station, trickle charging, air compressor, a dump station, propane, accessory store, and they offer free ice. Open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Don't let your RV or boat get sun bleached, allow decal fading, or let it deteriorate in the dust.
Hi, this is Kit. Trust your RV and boat to locally owned and operated Elite RV and Boat Storage at 4210 Right Way off of Dry Creek Road next to the Estrella Warburgs Museum. Call Elite RV and Boat Storage at 805-801-3889 or online at EliteRVandStorage.com. Ask about a free month.
Does your body deserve a jacuzzi? Incredible jacuzzi pumps give you the massage your body deserves. Head to Slow Spas on Broad Street in San Luis Obispo. Family-owned Slow Spas has been serving the Central Coast since 1983. They offer the best prices on jacuzzi swim spas, and infrared saunas. They're the only jacuzzi dealer in Slo County, and they stand by the products they sell. Service is their specialty. Visit Slow Spas on Broad Street across from Staples in San Luis Obispo.
Every piece of jewelry is something to be treasured for a lifetime. It can be a symbol of eternal love or a family heirloom. When your jewelry needs repairing, you want to put it in the hands of someone you trust. At Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles, you'll find Mike, a highly skilled master jeweler with over 35 years of experience, who stands behind his work. While some jewelry stores outsource their repairs, Bella Jewel does all repairs on-site in their modern state-of-the-art repair shop. You can count on quality repair services with fast turnaround. Even if you didn't buy your jewelry from Bella Jewel, they are there to help. Stop in for a complimentary ring inspection and free repair estimate. Located at 1224 Pine Street, downtown Paso Robles, one block north of the park, Bella Jewel offers fine jewelry, exceptional service at affordable prices.
And welcome back in. You are tuned into KPRL. This is Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles. And today only, special guest, Do I introduce you or Leanne?
Hello. Here. Good morning.
I'm glad we decided to go over that. And
I just like to make him say my name. Say my name. Say my name. Nobody is around you. Say, baby, I love you. But I also love cars. And I love what I do. All right. What were we talking about?
Just continue on. Just keep digging. Keep on digging.
Radiators. Cooling.
Radiators.
Weather.
Cooling. I mean, that's a great question because, it's going to be hot next week. So make sure you're prepared. Make sure your vehicle's prepared. I got some tips and tricks for you here later on in the show about what you should be checking, but you're probably getting out of town. So that's even more important. And don't expect to get in anywhere next week.
Don't,
especially if your AC is broken.
Don't wait, you know, till the last minute.
Until the last minute.
Everyone's filled up and has special holiday hours for all of next week. So,
but we got to give Leanne a pop quiz.
Oh, all right. You're welcome.
I got one recall to go over real quick because this is a big one. So Ford has a big recall going on right now. Just came out a couple days ago. 550,000 F-150 trucks over a faulty transmission.
Uh-oh.
That's a big one. Ford is recalling more than 550,000 pickup trucks in the U.S. because of the transmissions can unexpectedly downshift to first gear no matter how fast the trucks are going.
Yikes.
Now, you can imagine that's probably going to be a bad thing. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio.
Hi. I listen to you all the time, and it's really interesting listening to you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. My son has a 2000 Ranger, Ford Ranger, and the gas gauge is not working. I remember a long time ago we fixed one, but I just totally forgot. So what do you got to do?
Ford Ranger.
Gas gauge.
Yeah.
So is it stuck low or stuck high? Is it stuck on empty or stuck on full?
I just don't know. He just told me he had to fix it, and he's gonna try and figure it out.
Yeah.
And just quit.
Well,
Branson was riding it, and it just gas gauge quit working.
Yeah. Step one is knowing which side of the spectrum it's stuck on. So it's either gonna be a wire that's broken open or a wire that's possibly shorted. But you also have the possibility of the sender being bad, or that what they call the slosh module in the instrument cluster. Now, in the Rangers, that's usually what I find to be wrong. I'm not saying that's exactly what it's going to be, but I do find in the Rangers they have this module called the slosh module. And basically what that is as you're driving, right, you have a fuel tank that's maybe a quarter or a halfway full. And the gas is sloshing around in the tank. Now, the level sensor is also going to be bobbing up and down like a bobber in the ocean if you're fishing, right? So it's going to give you a very inaccurate fuel reading. So what Ford designed is what they call a slosh module that kind of compensates for that up and down and gives you a consistent reading. Now, a lot of the time that module will fail and then the gauge stops working. And that's going to be in the instrument cluster. Now, what I recommend doing is basically what you got to do is drop the tank, pull the sender out, leave everything connected, and then you can manually manipulate that arm up and down and see if the gauge moves accordingly. And that would be the easiest way to check to see if there's something in the sender, if the fuel pump needs to be replaced. There's also, you hook a meter up to it and actually test that level sensor that's part of the fuel pump. So it's quite an in-depth kind of procedure to really, you know, diagnose it, if you want to use that term, to figure out what it is. Or you can just start, replacing components. There's only really so many different things it can be. But for me, that's what we like to start with, actually getting there, doing some testing, seeing what the resistance of that sensor is going to be, and then kind of moving forward from there. Sometimes if you can kind of give the dash a little bit of a tap, and then all of a sudden the gauge starts working, it's pretty obvious that it's going to be something in that instrument cluster. So that's another kind of rudimentary way of testing that.
Okay, well, I thank you very, very much for your information. I like listening to you all the time because, you're really interesting,
Well, I appreciate that. I try to be.
Anyway, have a good day and God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, I've been called worse than that, so I'll take it. What's that funny? I hope I was helpful. I mean, I suck at giving, diagnostic information in simple terms. But
no, you did good.
Okay.
Thank you. I liked it.
All right. Perfect. Well, then
we
think I'm done. I think I'm done here.
Something.
I think I'm done here, folks. I'm going to go ahead and head out. See you next Saturday.
They don't want to be left here alone with
done.
Me. Don't do that to them.
I did my one thing, and I'm good now. Yeah, those slosh modules had a lot of problems, but you know, as soon as you think it's one thing, it's not. So I try to preach that a lot too in the shop and to everybody else in the industry that I have conversations with, and you know, I try to help. And it's like, as soon as you think it's one thing, it's not. And as soon as you get comfortable, a good example, I have a 2019 Ram transmission that I put together. And in 2019, they changed so it was like the same in all the 68 RFEs, the 6-speed automatics for the Rams. They're the same 2012 or 13 up to 18, 19. They changed, and they changed one thing on the valve body, and everything else is pretty much the same. But everything, all the kits you buy, the parts, you have to get it specifically for the 19, and there's not a lot of stuff out there, and there's not a lot of service information for it yet either, because it's still mostly under factory warranty. This is brand new because it's 4 years now, or 5 years now. And after 4 years, you get your warranties up. But anyway, my point is I buy the kit for it, and you kind of assume all the parts in the kit for this specific 19 is going to be the same. Well, it wasn't. There was one gasket that was just a little different, and it just it doesn't work when you use that one. Ask me how I know. So that was a fun experience and fun thing to learn. But it goes back to the point of what I was trying to get at. As soon as you get comfortable, as soon as you think something is one thing and you get in there, oh, it'll be the slosh module. I'll just order that and replace it. Well, you do, and then you just wasted a bunch of money and it didn't fix it. Good morning. You're on Gearhead Radio. Are you there?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, there you are.
Hey, you had somebody call me from your shop the other day to find somebody that does R12. Did you ever find anybody that does R12?
No, I did not.
Okay.
No, and the problem I was having with that is I needed someone to recover it so we could, convert it. But I mean, I don't have it. It's like it was still half full or half empty, however you look at it, right? And so it was like, how do I get this stuff out? And everyone's like, oh, just pull the plug and let it vent. Like, oh my God, I'm not doing that. I think that's frowned upon.
You didn't have any old bottle you could have hooked up to the vacuum pump, huh?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't have I don't have an approved container to recycle that into. So I'm like, I was stuck between a rock and a hard place there, because I don't have any R12 to put more into it to make it better, and I didn't have any approved bottle to pull it out and put it into, because all my stuff's all 134 now into the YF, the 1234. So it's like, well, what do we do with the guys that are still running around with R12 in their trucks? Because all this stuff's like obsolete now. So, yeah, no one I found.
So, all right, well, I was just curious.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no.
All right, you guys have a blessed day. Enjoy your fourth.
Hey, thanks, buddy. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I think Melissa and myself must have called about 10-plus shops over the course of 2 days to try and find someone to help this guy, and we came up empty-handed.
Yeah,
I really thought we'd find at least one person that knew someone or something like that, but we didn't. There was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we have 609A license, so we have to pay the state and take a test and do this whole thing. When it comes to recovery refrigerant handling, we are held to a much higher standard than the consumer that goes and buys it off the shelf at O'Reilly's or Napa or wherever. And it's kind of frustrating because it is a federal crime. If they sent, what they call an undercover or a shopper right into the shop and said, hey, I need you to, convert this, and we didn't show approved, refrigerant recycling methods, and then we get, fined with $10,000 fine over something like that. And it's just frustrating because then you see them go down to the parking lot, and you can... They have no one has any idea what they're doing. They're hooking this thing up and it's spraying everywhere and it's just venting. And Especially if you hook that bottle up and you have an old Schrader valve in those ports, and you hook that little can up to it and you charge it and everything's good, cool. So you go to unhook it and that Schrader valve hasn't been replaced and it gets stuck open and then it just vents all that out. That is part of the procedure. That Schrader valve needs to be replaced after being vacuumed because it's a small seal in there. And that happens all the time. You hook it up, you pop it off, and it just starts hissing. And that's okay. Like, I don't know. It drives me crazy. The standards are different. What do they call that? What's the word for that? Double standards.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Jack Callahan. President Biden telling a campaign appearance in North Carolina yesterday he is not dropping out of the presidential race despite a widely panned debate performance. He has a fundraising dinner scheduled tonight in New Jersey. A deadly crash on Long Island yesterday. A minivan plowed clean through a building housing a nail salon in Deer Park yesterday afternoon. The results were deadly.
I'm not sure if it was customers or employees, but it was four dead on arrival.
Deer Park Fire Chief Dominic Albanese says 10 other people were hurt, including a 12-year-old girl. The driver has now been charged with driving under the influence. Another baseball Hall of Famer has died, Orlando Cepeda, the former Rookie of the Year with the Giants and the National League's Most Valuable Player with the Cardinals, a 7-time All-Star, has died at the age of 86. America is listening to Fox News.
Seniors helping seniors. We provide friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. We hire seniors to do this because, well, they don't use TikTok. They just understand each other better. We're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Call me, Ron Torres, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors helping seniors.
Keep that vehicle looking its best with the help from Golden Hill Car Wash. Your choice of state-of-the-art Razor touchless wash with ceramic wax and the Ryko Soft Gloss Max 5, both with the latest technology. Plus, Golden Hill Car Wash offers 6 wash bays, including RV, all with spotless rinse. Plus, they've got vacuums for you. Keep it looking its best. Golden Hill Car Wash. Pass the Robles.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
Now playing at the Park Cinemas in downtown Paso Robles, New York is invaded by aliens. It's the sci-fi thriller A Quiet Place Day 1, rated PG-13, exploring the lure of the Old West. Kevin Costner stars in Horizon, an American saga, Chapter 1. The crime drama, The Bike Riders, rated R, and Inside Out in 2D and 3D, rated PG. Remember, gift certificates are always available. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a movie or two at the Park Cinemas in downtown Paso Robles.
It's summer, time to get outside. Whether you're headed out for a hike, to the beach, or just taking a walk, Tackens has the shoes you need to get outdoors in comfort. Treat your feet to the latest sandals from Keen, Reef, Olukai, Earth, Birkenstock, and much more. Take a hike in the latest and greatest outdoor shoes from Tanner, Keen, Merrell, and much more. Come on down to Tackens in Paso or San Luis today and treat your feet to something special. Tackens Shoes, locally owned and operated since 1937. Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One-Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One-Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Good morning and welcome back to Gearhead Radio. thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you being here and taking time out of your busy Saturday morning to hang out with us. It's always a good time.
I appreciate that. I'll take that as a compliment. I always have a good time when I'm here.
That's good. I was talking to the one listening, but...
Oh.
That's, I guess you're listening too, so...
I'm always listening to you.
I know.
I just can't let you know that I am.
So, back to the recall here. Ford is recalling 550,000 pickups. Recall covers certain F-150s from the 2014 model year. Ford F-Series pickups are the top-selling vehicles in the United States. So, Ford says in documents posted Tuesday by the U.S. safety regulators that the downshifting can cause drivers to lose control of the trucks, increasing the risk of a crash. Obviously. The recalls come after U.S. auto safety regulators in March began investigating complaints that more than 540,000 Ford pickup trucks from 2014 can abruptly downshift to a lower gear and increase the risk of a crash. Depending on the vehicle speed at the time of the intermittent OSS failure, an abrupt transmission downshift to first gear could occur. A downshift to first gear without warning could result in loss of vehicle control. If you didn't know that, that could happen. So, OSS failure. Pop quiz. Leanne, what's OSS?
Output speed sensor.
Nailed it.
You guys, that was a real pop quiz. I'm proud of myself. I never know what he's going to throw at me. I really don't. And most of the time, it's like not a real thing, and I have to figure out if it's even a real thing or not.
I'm such a good teacher.
I'm just in like survival mode all the time.
Output speed sensor. So that's the sensor that tells the vehicle computer how fast it's going down the road. It used to be a cable. Remember last month, last Saturday, talk about all these cables that have gone, you know, throttle cable. Now it's drive by wire, and they want to do brake by wire and steer by wire. Anyway, so one of the first things they get rid of was the speedometer cable. Now they use a sensor for it. Well, now the sensor's having issues, and if the computer thinks you've all of a sudden are not going fast anymore, like coming to a stop, then it's going to put the transmission in first gear because that's what makes sense, right? Very, very small sensor can cause a very, very big problem.
And this is true for any vehicle all the time. And this is why assessments are so important when you start to have drivability issues or codes, is because all of these sensors, including output speed sensor, input speed sensor, can affect the mechanical, or what we assume is the mechanical feeling in your trans.
Yeah, and as stuff gets a little bit more complicated over the years, and we learn these new problems, right? Like, you don't know everything because you can't, because every year there's a new vehicle with a completely new problem. And for instance, an example is when GM came out with their fix for road noise on the highway. You know, they're having a lot of complaints that when the vehicle got on the highway, there was a lot of road noise. So what they did was they made the stereo get louder as you went faster on the freeway. So if you've ever driven an early GM truck or car, notice as you're getting on the freeway, the radio slowly gets a little bit louder. And that way you don't hear the road noise and the vehicle noise. Well, you know, you could potentially, because that's tied into the speed sensor, which is tied into the TCM, you know, if you start having infotainment problems, as in problems with the radio, you could start having problems with the speed sensor, which then cause transmission issues. So it's important to know the whole story, right? And know like what was done. And I mean, it saves a lot of time when you go somewhere and you're having problems. Like, think about all the history and pay attention to your vehicle and pay attention to the different things that have been done and the different things that it's doing. Because you might not think it's related, but it most definitely could be. Just a PSA for today.
Yeah.
So anyway, on this one here, documents say the problem is caused by a loss of signal between a transmission speed sensor and the powertrain control computer. There also could be corrosion and problems with connector pins. Dealers will update the powertrain control software at no cost to owners, who will be notified by letters in early July. In a statement Tuesday, Ford said it expects repairs to be available in the third quarter of this year. Owners will be able to use the mobile service or pickup and delivery at participating dealers. Ford says in documents posted Tuesday by the NHTSA that it has 396 warranty and field reports and 124 customer complaints about the problem, covering over 482 trucks.
It's It's a big recall. And you want to know what? I don't want to downplay any recalls, but in all the work that we do, I have yet to meet someone who has had some kind of catastrophic failure due to recall.
Well, they usually catch it. I mean, they're pretty on top of this kind of stuff. It's the last thing in the world they want to do is, you know, have a problem with their vehicle, because then you won't buy a Ford again. So they got to stay on top of that stuff. Otherwise, the next vehicle you buy is not going to be the one that let you down last time. So if they can get in front of it, that's what's important. And that's why they made check engine lights so hard to come on to. Always making stuff to make sure that when you're driving your car, you're like, this thing's the greatest thing in the world. I got no lights on, no problems. So
don't want a bad reputation. Doesn't matter.
On this report, the company says that it expects fewer than 1% of the recalled vehicles to actually have the problem. So, and it's probably something to do with corrosion or who knows, but they're not going to go in and actually mechanically fix the problem. They're just going to change the software so that if that happens, you know, it'll rely on, because you have ABS sensors on the front wheels as well. So they'll probably just redesign the programming software to override that, so it won't actually do that. It'll just set, you know, the engine light and say, oh, you have a speed sensor problem, which it should anyway. That's what should happen. It shouldn't default.
So the fix is just a software update. It's just a module update.
Yeah, they won't fix anything.
Oh, okay.
So the trucks that are actually having the problem, they'll probably do a software update. Then in a month or so, the engine light will come on and say, oh, you have a faulty speed sensor, you know, because it'll actually find the problem. And yeah. I mean, pin fitment issues are a big problem too. They changed a lot of the connectors in the auto industry in the last 10 years. And, you know, they've made the pins so much smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, the cars are still vibrating, go down the road, and, you know, it starts opening up that pin a little bit, and then you have all kinds of connection problems. And sometimes, you know, by no fault of anyone that owns a vehicle, but you try to fix it yourself, and you start disconnecting stuff, and you start plugging back in, all of a sudden you're like, oh, now the problem's gone. That makes it really, really tough to assess those vehicles. You know, if you have the engine light on, something happens, just leave everything alone and take it into the shop, unless you're going to do the work yourself, because you start clearing codes, you start trying to do something. Well, you could fix it, right? Even just moving that harness, there might be a contact point where that wiring harness is, you know, rubbing through, and then you disconnect it, plug it back in. Well, you move the harness just enough so it's not making that connection anymore on that, you know, rub through on the harness, and you're like, oh, well, now it's not having the problem anymore. And then you take it into the shop and, hey, well, I had this problem. I did this, and that. And you spend half a day trying to recreate it, and never happens. Then you pick it back up, and sure enough, 2 weeks later, the code comes back, and it's like it's just a whole huge waste of time for everybody. So just, you have a problem, leave it alone, especially these new cars. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to catch these small issues like that. And a lot of the time it is pin fitment issues. So it's nice to leave everything connected, leave everything on, test it that way. And then that way we can eliminate all the other possibilities. And we know, okay, there's got to be a problem in the connector because everything downstream is fine. So then we can work on that. But another service announcement. So we got to do a pop quiz. Ready for this?
I think so. I'm ready. I'm waiting.
That's not really a pop quiz, but here's some terms that are, they kind of muddy fact and fiction of what they actually
are.
All right,
confusing everybody.
Anti-sway or stabilizer bar, which they call an anti-roll bar.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Why do they call it an anti-roll bar? So does it keep your car from rolling over?
No, it keeps it the center of gravity where it's supposed to be.
All right, see
for
that?
Each specific vehicle for height and weight.
It's a transverse steel rod linked to your suspension system that twists to resist body roll and turns. That's why it's most accurately described as an anti-roll bar. Worried about the fret of your car tipping over, manufacturers coin meaningless alternative terms.
I haven't heard someone use anti-roll bar unless they're talking about like an 80s or 90s or something.
Well, it's the same thing. It's the same. It's
otherwise,
the same piece
no,
of technology
nobody,
in all the vehicles.
Yeah, but it's funny. No one actually like says that anymore, though. Not the people I talk to, which is quite a lot.
Well, that's probably why they call it an anti-sway bar now.
Yeah.
You know?
They just say sway bar. They don't even say anti, including in the catalogs.
Yeah.
What
is the perfect or ideal weight distribution?
Ooh. Well, most of it needs to go in the front, if not all of it, but distributed between like left, middle, and right. But the weight should be in. Are we talking about like a camper?
So this is a marketing ploy, right? This is definitely
this
like
is a difficult question.
So BMW and a lot of other German performance vehicles would have you believe that 50-50 front to rear is the correct answer.
I'm going
to
say no, automatic.
And generally speaking, it's not. So front wheel drive cars can perform better with more than 50% of their weight carried by the front wheels, and vice versa for rear wheel drive. Cars with four wheel drive have a more agile steering response with a rear bias. The ultimate balance depends on several factors: center of gravity, height, polar moment of inertia, tire stagger size, and spring and dampener rates. Just to cite a few, right? So supercars like the Chevy's mid-engine C8 Corvette, for example, typically carry roughly 65% of their weight in their rear tires to optimize acceleration, cornering, and braking performance. So it just depends what you're doing with.
You're not going to load that car up. You're not going to go camping in that car anyway.
No, we're not talking about here. We're talking about the car that's engineered. So if you have a car.
Well, that was not a specific question,
like a
sir.
Big, you have it like a, say, old 60s, you know, whatever. And then you put a big block in the front. Well, your weight distribution is way off.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like 70-30, 80-20 maybe even. And it's not the greatest, right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Go around a turn too fast, and the term is called plowing, right? Because you turn the wheel, but it keeps going straight. It just plows to the turn. So
I just feel like that's a common sense. I thought we were getting into trailers and campers. Go on.
Strength versus stiffness.
What are you even talking about? Are you talking about tensile strength on the metals?
Yes.
The type of material? Yes. Well, yeah. The tensile strength is more important.
Like on a Christmas tree? So car parts that lack sufficient strength will fracture, as in actually crack or break in two. So ideally, that occurs only during severe collisions. Insufficient stiffness means that a suspension member, the body structure, or some other crucial part deflects too much under normal loading, impairing ride quality and handling precision. So every steering system component must be stiff to transport the subtle but useful feedback forces from the tire contact patches to the driver's hands. So sometimes, you know, you want it to flex a little bit.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what earthquake proofing is too. You can't have it be too stiff. You need it to flex with the movement of the earth, just like your car gets to flex with the movements of the road.
As we're winding down the weed abatement season, here at Glenn's stocked up on gas-powered weed trimmers and lawnmowers.
This is Jeff Oslin of Glenn's Rents in Atascadero.
We have another round of Honda lawnmowers on the way. That gives us about 60 lawnmowers in stock. This is the last load of Honda mowers we'll be able to get our hands on. We have four models in stock. When they're gone, they're gone. I wouldn't wait much longer to get them.
Well, Jeff, what is the latest situation with gas-powered engines?
Well, gas for California is still up in the air. Nobody's really figured out what's going on there. However, Honda has decided that they're done with the United States completely, so they're pulling out of lawn and garden, so they won't be manufacturing weed trimmers any longer or lawnmowers. There's plenty of parts available for all of them. They'll have them for at least another 10 to 15 years, so you won't have any problems if you need parts or have to have them repaired.
If you don't want to buy it, you could rent it at Glenn's, 5025 El Camino Real, Atascadero.
Hi, this is Barry Oxford, president of BD Oxford Financial on Main Street in Templeton. Perhaps you heard my commercial about Roth conversions. To date, we've converted over $70 million without reducing anyone's principal. That's huge, and it's not too good to be true. Join us live online July 10th at 1 p.m. and learn how to access real money to pay the Roth conversion taxes, review actual Roth conversion case designs, learn the real benefits of taxable versus tax-free income, learn about the effects of the 2026 tax increase if the wrong guy wins. Go to bdofinancial.com to register. That's bdofinancial.com. Reach us at 805-434-6971 and learn how to divorce the IRS.
Paso Robles Floor Company has new owners, but they're familiar faces. Tom and Kyle have been with Paso Robles Floor Company for more than a decade, so you'll still get the same hometown service they're known for. Paso Robles Floor Company. You'll find them just north of Paso Robles at 6240 Monterey Road, right off the 101 and X Line. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 to noon. Come say hi to Tom and Kyle. New owners, same old faces. Paso Robles Floor Company.
Happy birthday to Kokothai Restaurant. Thank you for 3 years at Kokothai, serving delicious Thai cuisine at the corner of Cabrillo and El Camino Real in Atascadero. Help us celebrate at Kokothai. Dine in or get Coco to go. 805-538-5057. 805-538-5057. Happy birthday to Kokothai Restaurant. By the way, I'm Coco.
And welcome back. We are just getting down to the end of the show here. It's already been an hour.
Today went by fast.
It usually does.
That's true. It usually does.
For who?
Me? You?
Okay. All right. So,
both of us?
So, talking about some automotive terms.
Facts, tidbits.
Little tidbits. Do you remember where we were?
We were talking about stiffness versus strength.
Yeah, that's true. What about torque versus horsepower?
For what? As far as what goes, what's the question?
I don't know. That's not a horse. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference?
Horsepower is the amount of strength and speed you can get up to. Right? And then torque is like how long or how hard, how fast it takes to get it there within a
No, torque is time. Our dog.
Well, that is also true. Our English Mastiff's name is Torque. So he hears his name quite a lot. It's pretty funny. So Jimmy, what is the difference, torque versus horsepower?
So this is an epic battle. That's intensified by today's onslaught of battery electric cars because torque is its amount of leverage and horsepower is the arm pulling, right? So if you have a really, really short bar and a really strong man, it's a lot of horsepower with not a lot of torque. But then you can increase the leverage with a pipe or a longer bar and use the same strong man or woman, same power.
Okay,
right?
So
that's horsepower versus torque.
Yeah, but then what does that mean as far as like
torque gets you moving, horsepower keeps you going.
So do you want a higher torque? Like what's the best thing? Like a mid-range horsepower?
First, let's distinguish between static and dynamic torques. Static torque is what you apply to your engine's head bolts during a rebuild and is indicated by the dimensional unit's foot-pounds. To cinch the bolts at 100 foot-pounds, you apply 50 pounds of force to a 2-foot-long wrench. Right.
So okay, makes sense.
So dynamic torque is the rotating force that exists on an engine's crankshaft. The preferred units are pound feet or Newton meters if you're into metric stuff. When you see units misquoted by pound feet by some witless writer, please pen a scathing letter to the editor. 18th century inventor James Watt observed that a horse powering a sawmill needed 1 full minute to hoist a 33,000 pound load 1 foot upward. He defined that work as 1 horsepower. So in his honor, the metric expression for work is kilowatt. In the greater scheme of things, the amount of torque produced is proportional to the quantity of air flowing through the engine or size of an electric motor. The goal here is maximum torque at the lowest RPM with the ability to sustain that output for as long as possible. The torque plot for a perfect engine or motor, which none exist, would consist of a straight line from idle to the red line, the so-called flat torque curve. And that's where CVT transmissions come in. That was the design behind them. That was the reason engineers decided those, to try to hit that flat torque curve. So torque versus horsepower discussions inevitably devolve into a debate of which is better. The answer depends on your driving style. If you have an automatic transmission and you hesitate to downshift passing a car in traffic, you want right now torque. The more the better. Any Tesla Model S or Chevy Bolt owner will spout chapter and verse about the instant torque they enjoy in daily driving. But if you're a more aggressive driver who dwells at the upper half of the tachometer sweep, horsepower is your best friend. Your engine's bottom end range is merely for backing out of the garage. Your throttle is the trigger that unleashes more RPM and maximum power. So the bottom line, torque is for painless tooling around. Power is what you get you home in time for dinner.
So this may or may not be accurate. So now I'm thinking, still, horsepower is more about speed, obviously, but torque is for maneuvering, like quick, precise maneuvering. Like if I'm, if I am speeding in and out of lanes, torque is going to be my friend more than horsepower.
No.
Because I need to get up and go like immediately.
No.
All right.
Torque gets the wheel moving.
Right.
Horsepower sustains it.
Yeah, but you got to get it moving.
You can't have one without the other.
Well,
right. It's like love and marriage.
But for maneuvering, I feel like torque is going to be more important because you need to that get up and go. You need that maneuvering is the instant you need it.
I know you want to make this make sense, but there's the right answer and then what you're doing here.
I mean, I feel like I'm right. I feel like it makes sense in my head.
You're right.
And I know we'll continue this over breakfast afterwards.
Right. You're right. Correct. All right, so now I got to give you some real pop quizzes here. What's a CCV valve? Quick.
I don't know. CCV?
Closed crankcase ventilation valve.
Oh.
EGR.
Exhaust gas reticulation.
Recirculation. I don't know what would you call it? A reticulation?
Reticulation?
What's reticulation? Did you just make that word up?
I don't think so.
I don't
think
that's
like a reticulated
word.
Python?
A what? You don't have to make words up.
I don't want to have to explain it to you. No one ever says these things out anyways. We just say EGR, and I know what it is, and I know what I have to order.
Well, you know, I think it's important because
it is
a lot
important.
Of people come into the shop, and we use these terms, and they're used very loosely in the auto industry because it's what we're used to saying, but we don't take enough time to spell them out, and I think we do got to do a better job of pronunciating these terms and stuff that we say, because a lot of the time it's
yeah, you're right.
Pronunciating. I mean, sorry, I mispronunciated pronounce, but I didn't. At least I didn't make up a whole new word.
I did not make up a whole new word.
Okay, COP.
Like COPD.
No.
I feel like you shouldn't test me live on the air. I'm already like thinking about pancakes and stuff.
Coil on plug or coil over plug.
No one ever says COP for that.
Yeah,
they literally say just coil on plug.
All right.
None of our techs say or write down COP. All they right. literally put down coil on plug. And even in the catalog, it's spelled out.
It's not all about you. There's people listening right now that I'm
right,
trying
you're
to.
Right. You're testing me in front of other people. So I have to defend myself.
Pitman arm.
What about it? There's a Heidler arm and a Pittman arm.
Yeah, well, so what's the Pittman arm?
It's a steering component.
There we go. See, you got it.
All right.
See? That was
I don't know what you want from me. It's very nerve-wracking, everybody.
What about a kingpin? And who's the queen?
Kingpin is what classic cars have instead of ball joints or something like that.
Yeah, you could say that. That's pretty close. I'll take that.
Okay, well, what's your answer? Since you have an article right in front of you and I have nothing.
Well, it doesn't tell me what the kingpin is.
Okay. So you say. What's a kingpin? Tell us. Oh, no.
You'll have to wait till next Saturday to hear the answer. You see how I timed that? I don't even trying to turn around on me.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jimmy. I appreciate it. I always love being here and being able to bring you some extra entertainment once a month with Jimmy.
I hope you all enjoyed it. I look forward to seeing you next Saturday. Try to stay cool, stay out of the heat, maybe get out of town. I don't know. Do what you got to do. See you next Saturday.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.